Amen. It is. It's a privilege. It's a joy. It's an opportunity. Amen. How blessed it is. How glorious it is. Amen. I'm trying to stir you up a little bit. You got some of your past stirring. Amen. Good to be in the Lord's house. Thank God for His goodness and His mercy. Appreciate it. Really do. Take your Bible. Let's look into the book of Matthew. And let's read a scripture. I'm going to actually read four passages, but I'm going to read which one of them right now. And then we'll pray. I'll bring you the message, but we'll read these others in just a moment. After we get through praying, for the sake of time, I'll read these where you won't have to be standing. We want you to stand. Turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter number 2, the second chapter of the book of Matthew. When you find your place, let's stand and read it together. Verse number 1. Matthew chapter 2, verse number 1. You said, this ain't Christmas. Just stay with me. Amen. I preach the Bible year-round, regardless whether it's Christmas or not. The Bible said, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. Now, verse number 3, I want you to use this and look at it with me. This is the verse we're going to start with to bring the message, and using this as a text, as part of the text, to get the thought across in verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, notice the next three words, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. I'll read that again. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, I want to bring just a little simple thought this morning. Are you troubled? And you can be seated. And let's pray. Father, as we bow in your divine holy presence, I pray that you might touch our mind and heart. Give us liberty, dear God, to speak and preach. May the Spirit of the living God rest upon us. May we say that which we need to say, no more and no less. May you get all the glory, all the praise. I pray, dear Father, for one in our midst that's lost without Jesus, that you'd save them today. Send conviction upon their heart. Grip their soul. Let them know that they're lost. And Lord, this be the day we pray that they'll come to the knowledge of the truth. And if there's one out of the will of God, you might touch them. And then I pray, God, you bless your children. Thank you for them being here. Give us that which we need. We'll give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are you troubled? Herod, when he had heard that Jesus had been born, the King of the Jews, the Bible said he was troubled. I'd like for you to take your Bible and move on. We just take the scriptures out of the book of Matthew, please, this morning. Slip over to the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew. Hold your thought with Herod when he was troubled because he heard. And go to Matthew chapter 14 and read with me in verse number 26. The Bible said, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. Now we find Herod is troubled because of a certain thing in his life. We'll talk about that in a minute. Now we find that the disciples here are troubled because they found and saw Christ, at least at that time, didn't know it was, walking on the water. Here he was. Now slip over into Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 6. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 6. While you get there, the Bible said, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now we find some folks, and I believe if he said not to be troubled, there's some that are troubled. I believe I've met a few of those that are troubled like this scripture talks about. Now slip over with me in chapter number 23, back up, 23, and verse number 37. Should be close to the same page there, amen? And he said here, in Matthew 23 and verse number 37, And this is the Lord Jesus speaking. It don't say anything about Him being troubled, but He was. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Now let's examine these just for a minute and ask ourselves the questions, are we troubled? And if we are we troubled for the right things? I know what you're going to say right off. In the book of John, chapter 14, He said, ye believe in God, believe also in Me. Amen. And He goes on down to talk about this. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I realize that God don't want us to be troubled. Now what He's trying to tell us is we don't want us to be troubled in the areas that we're troubled in. Most of us today are troubled about things that really we shouldn't be troubled about. We're concerned about things that we ought not to have no concern for. And we're not concerned about the things that we should be concerned for. And so here it is, and I kind of break it down here and look at the thought, and I pray. And I'm troubled this morning about some things. I'm troubled about some. I want to get my priorities right in my troubles. What I'm troubled about. Amen. I don't believe we ought to be worried and concerned about how we're going to get through the situation. I heard somebody say sometime this morning, said, in this little oppression or this little depression that we're in or this little bitty economic situation, it may not be little bitty to some folks. Amen. It's not even little bitty to me. But I want to say to you, as I look at it, I'm not concerned too much about those things as I should be concerned about the things of God. Amen. Now, let's look at this. Herod. What he had done is he had heard that there was one king of the Jews. Why was he troubled? He wasn't troubled for nobody but for Herod. He was concerned that somebody was fixing to take his position. Somebody was fixing to roll him off the throne and take his throne. He was a king. They thought he thought somebody else was going to take his kingship. And so he was troubled for the wrong things. We've got a lot of people today that are concerned about a selfish idea and selfish reasons. And you may be troubled this morning because of selfish things. You ought to get that straightened out. Amen. And get rid of it. We find that here the disciples were. They were in the boat and Jesus come walking on the sea. And they were troubled because they suddenly thought He was a spirit and they were troubled. And they rightly so were troubled. But look at what they're doing. There's trouble because they thought they'd seen a spirit and they were concerned about. And they were concerned about the circumstances around them, what they were seeing. And brother, we ought to be concerned about the things that we're seeing that's going to bother than against the things of God. We're to be concerned about the things of God. Amen. And then we moved on a little bit in the Scriptures. I'm just using these as a thought. The Bible talked about them. They came to Him in chapter 24 of the book of Matthew and said, tell us about the end of the time and show us what the signs are and all that. And the Jews were seeking out a sign and they came to Him. And guess what? He began to tell them about a few of the signs and these are some of it. He talked about that to be wars and rumors of war. But He said, they're not to be troubled over them things because that's going to happen. And a lot of people are concerned about what's going to happen tomorrow, what happened yesterday, what's happening today. And brother, we can think about the past and the present and the future. But listen, those are not the things that we ought to be troubled over. And then I look at the end of the journey of Jesus Christ on His 3-year ministry as He walked upon the earth, raising the dead and touching the eyes of the blind and the lame legs and the deaf ears and the dumb tongues and doing all the great marvelous things that He did. And right at the end of it, He went up there on the mountain, looked out over Jerusalem. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how would I have gathered you together as a chicken gathers a brood, but you would not. And brother, He was troubled. His heart seemed because they had rejected Him. John chapter 1, He came unto His own and His own received Him not. Brother, they refused Him. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and that troubled Him. Now I'm looking this morning at a little thought. Here's what I want to get at. Are you troubled? Are you troubled for the right things? Yes, preacher, I'm troubled, but are you troubled about the right things? Some of the things that you're troubled about is probably hindering you from serving God. Amen. If you're more concerned about how you're going to pay next month's bills and next year's bills, amen. Some of you have been worried about how you're going to make it in June, July, how you're going to make it to the next vacation and everything else, and brother, you're troubled. Listen, those things should not be. You don't even know where you're going to be here then or not.
Amen. And we're troubling ourselves about it. And we got our minds all saturated on things of this world and things of this world, trying to make ends meet, trying to get by day. Listen, what we ought to do is lift up our eyes on the hills whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth, and we ought to seek Him. Brother, the Bible teaches us that we ought to seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all His rest of these things be added unto you. We need to get the place that we're looking for the Lord, and that's all we're desiring for. And we're troubled because of some other things and not the things that's happening around us, particularly personally. Now, you want to tell you some things I am troubled about this morning? Number one, I'm troubled about the lack of conversions in our churches. I'm concerned because people are not getting saved like they ought to be getting saved. Amen. It troubles me. I say this over and over and over. I mentioned it not too long ago, and it's still mentioned all the time, talking out in the public. I tell this, listen, our churches, if they're growing today, they're just because they're moving from one church to another church. Brother, we're not having what we used to have, the community being saved and transformed by the grace of God, and coming to the house of God and raising the church and growing the church. Brother, we're having to go out and get some from other churches to get them in. Brother, that's not God's plan. Amen. God wants us to be soul winners. And brother, it would thrill my soul to know that somebody, and I appreciate everybody that comes to this church. I really do. Thank God for you. We couldn't have a church if you wasn't here. But I want to say to you, saints of God, what we ought to have on our mind is that people that are lost about God, bring them to the house of God that they might get saved. And we're going to raise our church up and make it bigger simply because there's some people get saved. There used to be people that got saved constantly when I first started preaching. Amen. When I first started preaching, that's been a while back. And Brother Bell, I know you good and well. You can tell this and say amen good to this. You know, back 100 years ago, people got saved more than they get saved now. Brother, people get... Listen, I remember in a few services and churches that I pastored, one particular, we was getting one saved or two saved about every service. We went 11 weeks in a row. I mean, about that length of time, maybe 11 services in a row. What? 11 services in a row. What did we have? Free saved every single service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, they come in another and get saved, come in another and get saved, and come in another and get saved. Amen. I'm talking about getting up and preaching, and the Holy Spirit of God get a hold of them, and they come walking down and get in the altar and cry out to God and get saved. It wasn't those who went out and got to, you know, shake them up and convince them to, try to convince them that they're saved and give a testimony. I'm talking about people who got under Holy Ghost conviction and got saved by God's grace. I used to see that. I don't see it anymore. I don't see it anymore. Oh, I thank God. It excites me. Now today when you say, hey, somebody got somebody saved down there in a certain church, they'll look at that and say, oh, and we don't say much about it. You know why? Because it wasn't in our church and we're jealous. God help us. I don't care where they get saved. Amen. In the courthouse steps. Amen. Wherever they get saved, that's good for me. Thank God I'm glad another saved. I like to hear the shouts of a newborn babe. Well, it excites heaven, it ought to excite you. And I'm saying to you this morning, we're not having that. I'm concerned that we're not having people saved right and left. I'm concerned that we can go service after service, week after week, month after month, and sometimes years after years without people being birthed into the family of God. I hear people talk about we had 4 to join the church today. We had 5 to join the church. We had another family to join the church. And what they've done is just moved from one church to another church. And that's what we're doing. We're just misplacing people and putting them here and there. And brother, I want to see the time of come again when we see people come in and get birthed in the family of God and get saved. Amen. 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 I'll preach to either one. If you don't believe it, go get a few. You say, well, preacher, I was going to ask so-and-so who's going to another church to come here. Now you kind of, go ahead and ask them. Amen. If they ain't anchored good enough and they ain't not getting what they need, bring them on. Amen. They tried everywhere else, let them try here. Say amen. That's what I'd do if I wasn't getting what I needed. I'm telling you this morning, I'm not trying to discourage you from that, but what I'm saying is us among ourselves ought to be able to try to bring somebody in and pray them in that they get saved and birthed in the family of God. I'm concerned this morning that we're not having people saved right and left. The cults are taking over. The world's taking over. Well, the ungodly situations that we're having around us, they're taking over. We need the touch of God on us. Amen. We got a lot of false things. Amen. We got a lot of false professors. We got a lot of false hopes. You ever thought about this? Let me give you something about a lot of people got some false hopes. You know what a false hope is? We've got people in our churches, and I believe this up and down our country, it's happened that way. Maybe a little boy, a little girl, and I'm not against young boys and young girls. Amen. I heard a little tape the other day of something I preached years ago, and I didn't even think about it. And I hear people say, well, our kids won't go to hell because they're up from a... Do you know what? And I thought about that. I thought I'd just bring this out again this morning. How many of you believe that a five-year-old child can get saved? All right. How many believe a six-year-old child can get saved? How many believe a seven-year-old child can get saved? How many believe what did I want to get last? Eight, nine, ten? What about a 12-year-old child? You believe they can get saved? Somebody said there ain't going to be no kids in hell. Then if a five-year-old child can get saved, that means a five-year-old child can go to hell. Amen? Are you seeing your logic this morning? Somebody said, well, now, preacher, I believe that there has to be 12 before they get saved. And they've gone from the book of Jesus, from the life of Jesus in the book of Luke. And when he was in the temple. But you can't find in the Word of God where the 12-year-old is the time. Amen. I believe a child reaches the age of accountability when they begin to know right from wrong. Some child can be taught early in life and know what right is and what wrong is. And God can use that, and others may not be taught that. Amen. Amen. I've been around this world long enough to know that all kids ain't the same. They're all mean as striped snakes, but they not all the same. I've seen kids, and I've seen some of them that would learn to do certain. One of them might learn to tie their shoes at an early age, and some of them, I know some today can't tie their shoes to 3 and 4 and 5 years old. Amen. About the only thing I found out kids all are pretty good at is eating. And that carries on down to our grave, does it not? We all know how to do that. But I'm telling you this morning, we all reach certain things at certain ages, and so the age of accountability is buried. I believe that. But next time you think about, well, that little six-year-old boy right there, if they were to die, well, they're all right. Not if they reach the age of accountability, they're lost without God, they're going to hell. And brother, if they can get saved at six because they've come to the age of accountability, they can go to hell at six if they don't get saved. It kind of warps our little mind. Now, let me give you this. Now, I was going to talk about false hopes, and I had to get that foundation. Now, if we've got the false hopes, you know what a false hope is? We can baptize a boy or a girl in pretense of being saved, not being saved. And that boy or girl, and it's happened, and you've seen it happen in your days, and some of you in here may be in that particular situation. You can get, you know, baptized at 7, 8, 9, 10. Matter of fact, you can get baptized at 40 and still do the same thing. And so what happens when you get baptized, the next thing you know, well, hey, tell me about your salvation. Well, I'm glad I got born again. When'd you get born again? That day they took me off down there to the river and baptized me. I was pastoring a church one time, and this dear lady, she was an elderly lady, and she said, and every time we had a testimony meeting, she'd get up and she said, I remember the time when they took me to that little old pond right down here behind the church, and they baptized me. Every time, she never said anything as long as I was there, that she got saved by the grace of God. She always reminded everybody of that little old bitty pond that she went to and got baptized in. That's a false hope. Amen. I remember when he took me to the river. I was scared to death. Baptized me in old Chattahoochee River over here as it crosses into out of Habersham into Wright County. I'll get it right in a minute. Amen. My mouth's speaking fast and my brains are running this morning. You may not have that problem, but I do. Amen. So I have to slow down sometimes from catch up. But I call that sinking. I got to get them synced. But I remember going to that river. And I was scared to death, but I knew I'd got saved. And they put me in that river. Now, all these years, I know where I got baptized. Now, listen, I go by that and over that bridge several times. That bridge is gone now, but I mean, they got the new one there now. I remember coming out of there red as where you'd throw a dog in, but I was wet. All over. They didn't sprinkle me, they baptized me. And they brought me out of that, and I was scared to death that preacher's going to drown me. I can't swim now, I couldn't swim then. But I want to tell you, every time I drive by that place, I don't stop and salute and don't bow and say, thank God for that old river. Amen. I mean, I don't stand up and say, thank God for the Chattahoochee where I got baptized. No, sir. I said, I stand up and say, thank God for the redemption of the cross and the redemption of Christ, and through the blood I got birthed in the family of God. Thank God I'm glad I'm born again. And I go back to that time in the altar, not in the river, when God saved my soul. But there are a lot of people who take you back to the river. Take you back to the baptismal pool. Take you back to the baptistry. Then take you back wherever. And that's a false hope. A lot of people have well, preacher, I've lived my life, and one of these days God's going to put everything I've done that's good on the scales. Everything that I've done on the scales will be put there too. And one of these days God's going to take them. And if my good works outweigh my bad works, and if the good works, you know, weigh it down. And listen, if I have got more good works than I have bad, I'm going to go to heaven. That's false hopes. Amen. The Bible talks about a lot of things as false. The Bible talks about false religions. You don't say it religion, but there are false religions in the world. Well, do you believe that? A lot of people got involved in false religions. There's false doctrines. The Bible talks about shunning the false doctrine. We'll stay away from false. There's false witnesses. Matter of fact, God talks about false witnesses from Genesis to Revelation. He talks about false witnesses. He sure does. And he talks about false prophets. That's the two greatest things, the two biggest things. He talks about the most false prophets and false witnesses. We've got a lot of them. Amen. We've got what the Bible calls false accusers. We had them in Jesus' day. They accused Him. The Bible calls that in Galatians, there's false brethren. You said, preacher, I just trust the church. But the Bible said there's some false brethren. You better watch out. You know who the false brethren are. You have to watch for them. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse 13, there's some false apostles. They were in His day. Somebody said, what about today? We don't have no apostles today. Amen. I know that bothers some folks when I preach that, but I'm telling you right now, the days of the apostles are gone. Amen. You said, where'd you get that out of the Bible? I ain't got time to preach on that right now. Amen. But hold that thought. I will help you with that somewhere down the road. I'm telling you, we've got false preachers. You believe we've got some false preachers today? Sure, we've got false preachers. Amen. Hey, you'll never hear a gospel message. You'll never hear anything about the gospel when some people preach or preachers preach. A lot of them. Amen. Thank God we got some good ones still. Thank God for that. Amen. And so we go on a little bit. We look in the Word of God. You say, well, preacher, I heard somebody say something I sure didn't like. You got to watch. If it's not the Word of God, the Bible said you can have false lips in Proverbs chapter number 17, verse 4. She said, preacher, I had a vision. And the vision, you might have a vision for Bible Way Baptist Church. I don't know. Amen. So he may I eat some buttermilk and wild onions and went to bed and got a vision. Hear me? But the Bible said that we can have a false vision in Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 14. Amen. But you say, well, preacher, I just dreamed a dream. And my dream said this. I don't worry about your dreams. Amen. Keep your dreams to yourself. I've dreamed some I wouldn't dare tell you about. Amen. I fell out off of mountains and off of treetops and everything in dreams. In fact, when I woke up, I'd hit the floor, I guess. You ever done that? I dreamed some dreams a few times. I woke up, my heart, boom, 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 boom. I said, what in the world was I dreaming? And I can't even remember. Do you remember that? I know what I was dreaming, but I woke up, I don't know what I was dreaming. Y'all ain't never been that way? I've had a few of them. Well, the Bible said we can have some false dreams in Jeremiah 23:32. Amen. Well, you said, preacher, I've got a burden. But you know in the Lamentations chapter number 2 and verse 14, he said we can have false burdens. Your burden may not be real. It may be in the wrong direction. You may be troubled, but troubled in the wrong things. I'm troubled this morning because our churches are not being filled with people who are lost that are getting saved by God's grace. Amen. Somebody said, oh, but I want to speak right. The Bible said you can have a false tongue. Amen. I was listening to preaching this morning. I was on the way up here. I checked the heat, make sure it was all working right, so y'all wouldn't be froze when I got here. Amen. This is not the first church of deep freeze, so I didn't want you to freeze. I come up the road and listened to the preacher. I brought him with me. And I was listening to the preacher coming up the road. And he said that he went down there to a place. And I said, hey, the old dog ain't got no food. Said, you might need to stop at the store and get something to eat for the dog. So he said he stopped down at the grocery store, went in there in the back, and said he went over and looked at dog food. And I seen it and went over there. Said there was a fella, he had a bunch of chicken heads laid out in the meat market there. Oh, a bunch of chicken heads and wrapped up and cellophaned out. He had 20 cents on them. He said, I looked at that. And he said, I knocked on that thing and said, that fella come out. And I said, is that price on that right? He said, yes, 20 cents. He said, I want them. I'm going to feed them to my dog. He said, well, I got some more. I got another pile like that for 20 cents. He said, I'll take them too. Said, come on back. Went back in the meat market. Got back there. He said, when he went back there, he said he looked over there and laid out was a big old tongue about that long. He said, he looked at that. He said, oh, Lord, help us. Said, that meat man said, what? He said, I know Sister So-and-so just died because she's the only one I know who's got a tongue that long. Amen. So sometimes we have a lying tongue. That's right. You hear me this morning? Listen, we can have a false tongue. Let's go a little bit further. I believe we ought to be concerned because people are not getting saved. I believe because people are not getting birthed in the family of God, we ought to be troubled. We ought to have a troubled heart because we're not seeing men and women, boys and girls saved by God's grace here in our services. Secondly, I believe we ought to be concerned because we see a lack of dedication in the lives of men and women in our churches today. I believe we ought to be troubled because, you see, he looked over Jerusalem. Jesus did, said, oh, Jerusalem, how would I have gathered you together? He said, I would have brought you together. And he said, I love you, I love you. Let me give you some little thought here to think about. Put in your pipe to smoke and go home and chew on it while you're eating lunch. Listen. Did you know this morning that the more that a pastor loves his congregation, the more his congregation will despise him? No, preacher. Did you know the more that you love your children, the more they'll despise you, in a sense? They'll love you. But the more that you, because the reason is, the more that you love your children, the more you'll correct your children. You won't let them go everywhere, do anything, and do everything that they want to do. You'll put some limits, you'll put some areas in their life and say, you can't do this and you can't do that, and they'll get at the place, if they're not careful, to thinking that you don't want them to do anything, and they'll get to the place they despise you. A preacher does the same thing, he preaches to them. Now if you love God, you won't have a problem loving me. Amen. You're saying, that preacher, that's right. You don't love me, you don't love God. Preacher, there's a lot of difference between you and God. Hallelujah! I'm glad you found that out. But if you don't love me, the Bible says, how in the world can you love man? How can we love God if we have never seen Him, but we, you know, each other, we begin to look at each other. How if we can't love Him, how can we even love God? Those that we've seen, if we can't love them, how in the world can we love God that we hadn't seen? Hear me? And so I'm telling you this morning, as we look at the Word of God, the more that you love God, the more you love me. But the more that I love you as a congregation, the more I'm going to preach to you. I'm not going to tell you, amen, that everything's a bed of roses and everything's all right. I'm not going to pat you on the back and tell you that everything's fine in your life. I'm not going to squirt rose water and tell you that everything smells good. I'm not going to scratch your back and pat you and say, hey, just go on and do what you want to do. I'm going to tell you what God said you could and could not do. That's my job. That's my duty. That's what God told me to do. Amen. But sometimes we preach something that you don't like. Somewhere down the road, and if I preach something, if I've been here and you've been here a while, and I haven't rubbed the feathers the wrong way, sometimes I'm sorry. You said you're apologizing for preaching. Evidently, ain't been preaching. If I'd have been a preaching, I'm going to stir you up somewhere. If you love God, I'm going to stir you up toward God even more and get you deeper anchored in this thing. But somewhere down the road, God's going to rebuke you. You're not perfect. You haven't arrived yet. You haven't got the new body. You're not in the presence of glory. You're not in the presence of God this morning except for His presence sitting with us in heavenly places. But we haven't got that new body. We've got problems. You've got a sinful preacher. You've got a sinful congregation around you. But let me tell you something. We may not be going out yonder in the world with sin and committing all these things. Amen! Kind of like that preacher. He told me, I was listening to him. This is another preacher I was listening to that day. And he said, you know, he said, we got about 85 to 100 people in our choir. And I thought, boy, it'd be nice to have 8,500 people just in the church, much less choir. And so he said, we had that many in the choir. And he said, I notice every once in a while, if I don't say something every once in a while, I said, I just have to get up every once in a while and say, ladies, the dress has got to get a little longer, and the neckline's got to go up a little higher. He said, I notice if I don't say that every once in a while, and I let it go, it just creeps in. It creeps in. And it creeps in. And he said, I just have to do that once more. He said, so I dwell a little while. And hadn't said it, and that kind of crept in a little bit. He said, here come one of them old fellas up there that's real smart, and he wanted to try to get everything just right. And said, all he done is run his mouth all the time. And said, he come to me, he said, preacher, said, I know she ain't said nothing about them low necklines and them short dresses in a while. He said, no, but he said, let me tell you something. Would you rather have low necklines and short dresses? And I'm not for all that. But he said this morning, had you rather have that or have people in there got a tongue about that long? He said, if I don't get that, I just have to get that tongue too. Amen! So what's happened is you got a preacher, you may not see nothing on him, but I'll tell you, he's got problems and you've got problems. Amen! I ain't been out. I believe in paying my bills. I can tell you a lot of things I don't do, a lot of places I don't go, a lot of things that I don't think about. But I want to tell you this morning, I'm human, and you're human, and you have problems with this flesh, and I have problems with this flesh. And by the way, we've all got problems. And so I can't point my finger at you too, so I can't preach the word, though. Amen. You say, what are you trying to do? Say, do as I do. No, I believe one of the examples. Don't you? I try my best to be an example, but sometimes I fail in being a good example. If anybody can doubt that this morning, and you know that you've been a good, perfect example all your life, would you listen? I'll make sure you get a good meal today because I want to talk to you. I want you to explain to me how you've done it. Amen. I mean, you know, you've been a good example. You're the best daddy that's ever been. You're the best husband that's ever been. You're the best mama that's ever been. You're the best wife that's ever been. You're the best church member. You hadn't messed up and hadn't messed up. You hadn't went wrong. You've been screwed all your life. I want to talk to you when church is over. Matter of fact, I'd like to have a camp meeting with you for a week. Amen. I've got an extra room down there. My wife can fix it up, and you can move in this week with me and my wife, and we'll serenade you and take care of you all we want. I want you to explain to me how you've been so perfect thus far. Amen. Now, don't everybody come to me at one time, because I ain't got but one room. One room. First come, first serve. And after we have you for a week, we'll get the next one that's in line. And I'm going to see if I can change that for you. Amen. After you stay with me a week, I just wonder how perfect you'll be when you get through. Amen. My wife can't do it. You shaking your head? No, I figured you would. She can't stay straight with me. I'm telling you this morning, we got problems. I'm troubled about the lack of dedication in our churches when we just slack and loose and we go anywhere and do anything. I'm concerned this morning about no revival in our land. I could preach all day on these things. I'm going to give you the rest of the outline and go home. I'm concerned about the lack of Bible preaching. We're having a lot of Bible thumping, amen, and a lot of preaching at it, but I need some preaching. I need to preach, be preached too. More and more as I go, I don't care about what Dr. Bottlestopper said. I'm concerned about what God said. I'm concerned about what this Bible says. The more you get closer you get to God, the more you want to have what God has to say to you. Amen. I just have to leave off the message. I just got through with the introduction right there. We'll quit. But I'm concerned this morning about souls not being saved. I'm concerned this morning because that we have a lack of dedication. I'm concerned this morning because we have no revival and no stir. We can have a week of meetings and seem like we're no different than we were when we had one. Revivals now can't hardly last much over two or three services past the regular revival time. But, and that means we ain't had a revival. Revival carries on. Revival changes things. It's been ages since you've been in a real revival. We've been in meetings. Oh God, help us. And listen, just because we're not having revivals don't mean that we should not have them anymore. Maybe one day somebody's going to catch fire. Amen. I've seen a lot of smoking. Maybe they'll catch fire. We catch that at a while. Seriously. Amen. Where there's smoke, there's got to be fire. And I think we're just smoking embers in our churches. I need to catch on fire. Amen. We're just a bunch of hot coals. You know what hot coals are to wood, don't you? Amen. On a cold morning, amen. Hot coals don't mean much when you're freezing to death, but they mean a whole lot if you're trying to start a fire. Because you got a little something to start with. Amen. I'm going to tell you, we need to catch fire. I'm concerned. And my desire is, more, Lord, I'm concerned about your people. I'm troubled. I'm troubled this morning about our churches in America. I'm troubled not only just for this one, but all up and down our road. Preachers, and churches. I feel for preachers that are pastoring today. God help us. We need to be on fire. God help me. I pray that God open our eyes, touch me. Oh God, lay your hand on this church and guide it forward for your glory and honor. That's my desire. That's my prayer. Amen. I just want to see God work. I don't really care where we have revival. Listen, now I do care. Don't you misconstrue what I'm fixing to say. I care about having, I'd like to have revival right here. But I don't care if God chooses to do it down the road somewhere else. I just love to see revival break out and break loose somewhere. But if it does, I'm going to get in on it somewhere. Amen. Amen. I've been in a few churches and I'd see some of them praising God and weeping and sort of stand up and give a testimony. I'm sitting there looking, what in the world are they doing? I don't feel a thing. Amen. Amen. Then I'd jump up and say, bless God, you know, to myself, well, I don't feel nothing. Amen. Don't feel nothing. And I wouldn't say nothing. And then after a while, I just sit there. And after a while, it gets, what the fellow says, it gets gooder and gooder and gooder. And after a while, the Spirit of God visits where I'm sitting. Amen. And I begin to feel God. Of course, you said, preacher, we're not saved by feelings. We're saved by faith. Amen. That's right. I remember a fellow in the Bible by the name of Isaac went by feeling. He got in trouble. He blessed the wrong one. He blessed Jacob instead of Esau because Jacob felt like Esau. He went by feeling. But I said, preacher, I feel like I'm saved. Sometimes I feel like I ain't saved, but thank God I know I am because I've been through the blood. Amen. Somebody said, well, preacher, I don't feel nothing. Now, if I didn't feel nothing all the time, I'd be concerned. It was what I feel like I'm saved about that much. And sometimes about that much. Sometimes I'm more than I can tame myself. I can't handle that anymore. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. But them times I don't feel like it, I still know I am because I've done all I know to do. I've trusted by faith. Faith come by hearing. Amen. Praise God. Thank God that this morning I'm concerned. I'm troubled. Heads bowed. Eyes closed. Are you troubled? Let me ask you the next question. I didn't get into all this, but are you troubled about the right things? I've preached at it. Didn't preach the message I really wanted to preach. And I preached what I believe God wanted. Listen. Are you concerned about the right things? Are you troubled about the right things? We're troubled about the wrong things. We're troubled about things this morning that really won't amount to nothing. But we need to be concerned about the things of God.